If you're on the internet, Brian Rios says, come, come. Best takeaway, they stays up, you dum dum. Sword that censors the air, not all day. Even for Barney, can't change the censoring ways. Sword member, Dr. Lynch says after you. Sword member, if he shoots your ass you through. Sword member, them Nimbusters after you. Sword member, if they try to eat you, you're through. Them wiggly Nazis are really crazy clowns. When will they learn they kept little member faggots down? Sword member censors the internet all day. Even Nimbus can't take faggot ways. Sword member, Pastor Lynn says after you. The Sword Member Show! If he sues your ass, you're through. Greetings, ogling, wigger, and man's-ass clowns across the fluted, nutted Zog plain. In the open air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But also to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, greetings. This is episode number 97.5 of 24th November 2011, and it's called A Movement Turd Thanksgiving. And pretty well what this Movement Turd is about is essentially there's a lot of people who think I'm surly and all this sort of thing. I'm not very grateful, but I am rather grateful to Yahweh. Essentially, I'm grateful to Yahweh that I'm no longer living locked up in a house or locked up in a jail or not sent to prison like a few of my friends got sent or still up in the nut house. Essentially, on bogus, trumped-up charges of child molestation. And over the past year, I've been thankful that Yahweh has gone ahead and helped me reveal these Jews, these Mamzers, these retards, these liars, these Zogbots on this show. Right around this time last year, Brian Rio had gone ahead and taken down my forum and a number of other things, and now I got my forum back up. I got my web page back up. I got the Movement Turd back up. It's sort of hidden on TalkShoe, sort of semi-quasi-hidden, but yet it still is up. And as a result, these Jews, these Mamzers, these liars and phonies have been revealed by the fact that they don't want anything to do with me. They don't want me going ahead and asking them embarrassing questions. So like Carolyn Yeager, a voice of retards, another Jew false front, about Finkelschining. Don't want me revealing that these people are evil. Don't want this thing at all. So anyway, Russ Walker is supposed to call in a few minutes. But folks, in many cases, why is it necessary? Because I think that these Jews, be they Steve Elder, be they whoever, they know full well who they are. They know who they are. Steve Elder knows that he has Crohn's. He knows he's bleeding out the ass. He can go ahead and detect other little Jews who are bleeding out the ass, like Legal Mamzer 2012, Johns. And you have these Mamzers, and they associate with known Jews, and they hide Jews. They know Eli James is a Jew. So, folks, these people are not really, although they act delusional in many cases, they do know in some ways they're a Jew. What you end up having to deal with is Whiggers who essentially go ahead and listen and they have no idea what the hell they're talking about. I was listening to Harold Covington's diatribe somewhat on character. And Harold Covington does not do himself or anybody else a favor by not going ahead and mentioning who he's talking about. So, essentially, and leaving that thing up for grabs here. But, folks, I've been going ahead and fighting on Harold Covington's Facebook page. A number of these retards, a number of these criminals, a number of these ass clowns. And, essentially, I don't feel sorry for doing so. I really don't. Don't feel sorry for doing so at all. But who is going to go ahead and live and die? And I believe that this great tribulation is about to start. It's imminent. I've been going ahead and listening to the economic news, and essentially for people, for all the talk about how we no longer have a recession or we're dealing with a double dip recession, essentially it's a recession mainly for white people who are not doing very well. And I'm sort of thankful in that I have enough money. I have a house to live in. I'm doing okay. And, I'm getting by. Getting by very well without any need here. Essentially, I wish I had my grandchildren with me. But essentially, I'm living quite finely with me, Roxy, and Poopy Dog. Me, Roxy, and Poopy Dog are living just fine. We have enough to eat, more than enough to eat. We went out the other day for a free Thanksgiving dinner offered by the church, and we went ahead and had turkey and trimmings, but I've gone ahead and bought some turkeys in advance. So, folks, I feel sort of grateful. I haven't done as much as I would have liked to done. But essentially, I've done what I've done. I went ahead and sent out this week. I sent out Tuesday the notice of appeal on my Obongo lawsuit. And anyway, we got to understand that what we have is a wigger problem. So I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, different wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago on our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. Hello, Ross. How you doing?
Eastern time.
Yeah, well, usually you poop out on me, pretty easily, easily, Ross. Here, so I decided we'd just go ahead and I'd go ahead and talk to you here, and then Mona Montgomery might come on. I yak to her a little bit, and any case, this is Russ Walker. He came on, and essentially, I was looking at all the Black Thursday sales here on usually electronic Japanese or Chinese-made junk, and on toys, although I don't have any grandchildren, so I don't have to buy more toys anymore. Let's see. I'll talk about how thankful I am to be not locked up in jail or in nut house, and I've been helping a few of my friends who are in prison, I believe, illegally and unlawfully, you know, gone after, like my friend Sean, and my friend Jim, who, well, he does belong in nut house because he killed his daddy with a hammer, claw hammer.
Boy.
But in any case, and he is nuts. But
is he insane, or just outright murder?
Oh, he's always been sort of nuts. Essentially, he was asking for me to be his guardian. I said, well, first of all, I don't think they want someone like me to be your guardian. Second of all, I don't think that's going to be possible. I essentially think that the best thing for my friend would be essentially to go ahead and not be illegally doped up or on risperidone like they put him on. It really screws him up. But essentially to go ahead and be living in sort of, well, essentially supervised living here, to where essentially he's not going to go ahead and run out. Now, he can't kill his daddy with a claw hammer no more. He only had one daddy, but essentially, from what I gather, his mother, his sister, they're sort of nuts too, but he's pretty nuts. He's fairly clever. He's a very good credit card thief. He managed to go ahead and escape, after the murder for about at least 90 days or so. I mean, he was pretty clever. But on the other hand, I don't know if I would want to be responsible for him getting loose and killing somebody else, you know what I mean? So, essentially, I think the best thing for him would be essentially to have, to be, probably put in a group home where it wouldn't cost the government as much, to where essentially he can go ahead and read his books or do whatever, and essentially, be kept an eye on. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? So.
Unstable is what you're saying.
Huh?
He's unstable.
Yeah, he's unstable. He's very, heck, he's nuts. I mean, essentially, like I told these psychiatrists, I said, I knew better than you idiots did who was insane and insane, because I had to deal with some of them. And essentially, I have to live with them 24/7, essentially, where you idiots just go ahead and talk to them for 15 minutes every 60 or 90 or 30 days, however much you have to go ahead and talk to them. And I've seen criminals go ahead and pull a fast one on the authorities in order to avoid prison. And I've seen people, usually the niggers are not really, it's not like they're high-functioning mental machines. I mean, most of them are into murder, rape, robbery, what have you. Hell, Covington's program was doing about, nigger stories, and had this nigger, I knew him over at Biggs here, but he was my first roommate over at Gulman. You have three people in a three-man, larger space here, and he was my first one, and essentially, I knew that he'd gone ahead and raped and murdered his 8-year-old niglet niece, and essentially what he did is that normally he'd just be facing the needle for doing that, but what he did is he did something weird after he went ahead and sodomized and murdered her in order to keep her mouth shut. He went ahead and he took a few delicate slices here from little Shaniqua or whatever her name was, and ate them raw. And so that is what got him sent to the nut house. And he went ahead and about a month after I became his roommate, he went ahead and pled NGRI and was accepted that, and he got sent to the regular nut wards for not guilty by reason of insanity. But I really didn't mind him. He had a weird habit of every night before bed he'd go ahead and grease himself up with Vaseline, and then he wouldn't lay underneath sheets or covers. He'd lay on top of the bed. But what I really didn't mind about him, what I really liked about him, is that unlike everybody else where they sort of insist on taking turn the lights off, if you turned the lights off, he'd think that little Shaniqua was rising up from the dead to go ahead and haunt his ass here. Not his murdering, molesting ass, and essentially screamed if the lights were turned off. So essentially, I got to leave the lights on, and pretty well he was quiet. But, he'd fall asleep after he greased himself up. But, if the lights were turned off, he'd start screaming. So essentially, I got to leave the lights on and read till 1 or 2 o'clock, in the morning, whenever I felt like it. And then when I got tired, I wouldn't turn the lights off. I'd just go ahead and put my bandana over my eyes, and that would act like sort of a night mask. And essentially, I'd fall asleep myself. So, anyway, that was my weird but true nigger story. Now, I don't think you have anything to top it here other than just typical nigger stupid behavior, right? They wear pants down to their knees. And
so I saw one guy, he had this green paste or something. Every night he put this green paste on his face and top of his head. And you talk about a spook, believe me.
The niggers would have this cream here that they put on their hair, this oil or grease or something like that here, and they'd give themselves an African dew or something like that here. That was sort of common, though. That was sort of common among niggers here. They grease themselves up here. I've talked with Pastor John Britton. He was in the Army. He didn't have so many niggers because he was in a combat aviation brigade, i.e., he was in aviation here, which don't have as many niggers here. Then the unit I was with, since there was nuclear weapons, essentially you'd have a mix. You'd have the real smart ones like the field artillery surveyors and the fire direction control, which I was in. And essentially, in order to go ahead, you'd have to do the math, which would pretty well let out the niggers. But on the other hand, you'd have the cooks. You'd have the missile crews. No Great Banes were they. So you'd end up having, a few sections or squads which would have real smart, people in it, like me. Well, I suppose I had 147 GT, which is equivalent, to the IQ score in the Army. And essentially, it's a mixture of verbal and mental, mathematical and, verbal skills. So essentially, I was supposedly the smartest, I think, enlisted or officer, I was enlisted here, or smarter than most of them in the Army. Of course, to be an officer, you had to have a minimum of 110 GT score, slightly above average here. So essentially, but I'd see people with 67. And this one nigger, he was so dumb that they didn't put him on missile grid at a 65 IQ. And he's a blue gum nigger from Louisiana named Holmes. He was a real nice nigger here. I mean, the blue gums usually got a sweeter disposition than these high yellows, which got too much white in them that turns them sort of mean. You know what I mean? And if you want to see a real snaky nigger, a real snaky, sneaky nigger, you don't want to turn your back on. Just see a nigger which, has a little bit of red nigger in him and a bit of, white wigger in him.
And
you'll have a real snaky, sneaky nigger that you won't dare turn your back on. You know what I mean? So,
that's another story, but.
Well, usually the blue gum niggers are not, they usually got sweet disposition, but of course this nigger only had about 65 IQ. You know what I mean? He was no great genius, so they made him a cook instead here. So anyway, he was pretty nice for a nigger here, but it's usually the blue gums which, have usually the better disposition because they're not as mixed.
You're not listening to me. I'm gonna put the phone down 5 minutes, I'll be back.
Okay. All right, hold on.
LBJ was a flying one morning over South Louisiana, feeling forlorn, and he looked down below, and what does he see? Two Cajuns pulling a nigger on ski. So he lands and says, thanks for helping your black brother. And them two Cajuns looked at each other, said he might be smart, but I'll tell you something, he don't know a thing about alligator hunting. No, wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who the hating. Everybody is a getting much bigger. A rich man traveling down through the south, stopped in Mississippi to get a tooth pulled out. And when he pays the doctor, the charge is due. He said, my nigga chauffeur's got a bad tooth too. Well, I pull it at the doctor, but you better not holler, cause I'll have to charge you $200. But here in Mississippi, can't open his mouth, I'll have to go through his bottom to get the thing out. Oh, wop, bop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, bop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, bop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hating everybody is a-getting much bigger. Between a nigger and a donkey, about as much between a ape and a monkey. One's a little bigger, but you gotta agree, there's not very much more that you can see. But a mule earns his living by the sweat of his neck, while a nigger sits down to all the government checks. A nigger should be smarter as a general rule, but in a spelling contest, I take the mule. Oh, wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hating everybody is a-getting much bigger.
Hey, Ben, you know, I start to see this Iranian thing. I guess the U.S. has really angered Russia by putting these missile stations in Poland and places like that, and using the alleged excuse they're going to protect terror from Iran and Iraq. Well, the Russians aren't that stupid. They've taken a hard attitude towards the U.S. now, and they're basically backing Iran, which they've got to, because Iran supplies so much petroleum to Russia and to China, and I can't imagine...
Well, Iran doesn't really produce very much. I mean, Russia has more than enough to where... Well, essentially... What happens is Zog has tried to go ahead and make an Iran sandwich by going ahead and having Afghanistan on one side and Iraq on the other. And in many cases, Zog supported Saddam Hussein to go ahead and start a war with Iran because, well, essentially we were mad that the Iranians finally got tired of essentially this fruit peddler's son calling himself the Shah, and essentially sent that worthless bastard off to Panama. That was the only place that would take him in 1979. And essentially in 1953, well, during the Second World War, I mean, both Russia and, Britain went ahead and took over Iran for their oil, among other things. And then after the war, they decided to go ahead and create a nation for which, the Persians, they've had a long history. They're no longer the Aryans. They've gotten quite a bit of Dravidian, nigger, and all this sort of stuff in them. They've got quite a bit of dark, in them. But essentially, they've had a long, long, long history. And they didn't really like being ruled over by the Americans and the rest. So what they did is that they actually democratically elected somebody. And I think his name was Mogadishu or something like that, or I forget what his name was, but in 1953, the CIA mounted a coup to overthrow a democratically elected prime minister because he said that essentially the oil resources of Iran belong not to Americans, not to the British, not to the rest. It belongs to Iranians. And he was going to go ahead and socialize these oil wells in Iran. And essentially, they overthrew him and set up the czar and essentially did whatever the heck they wanted to do, just like they did in Saudi Arabia. And the Persians or the Iranians, why they're Shiite. They're Shiite Muslims. They pretty well Shia. The difference between Shia and Sunni occurred pretty well after the death of Muhammad because he did not have a son. And essentially, the Shiites supported Muhammad's son-in-law, and the rest of them supported this different member of the family. And essentially, that's where that you know, this big, you know, schism between, you know, between Islam occurred rather early. So the Persians are mainly Shiites, and the Arabs are mainly Sunnis. Okay? But anyway, we went ahead and, you know, well, Zog did, not I did. I mean, this occurred in 1953. That's before, you know, that's what, 5 years before I was born, practically. Essentially, what Zog did was go ahead and overthrow a dictator. And right now, they are trying to go ahead and, you know, create false claims here, bogus pretenses that the Iranians wanted to assassinate the Saudi Arabian minister in the United States. And the Russians, they're annoyed because one of the deals of dismantling their Eastern European empire was essentially the United States would not go ahead and bring them into NATO, wouldn't go ahead and put a whole bunch of missiles on their soil.
Look, this whole NATO thing is a jag. You got Turkey, which is a member of NATO, way the hell in from the Atlantic Ocean. How the hell can Turkey be a member of NATO? It's such a, everything about it's a con job, including Poland shouldn't be a member of NATO, or Slovakia, or
well, it started out the North Atlantic Treaty Organization was supposed to be a, you know, counterweight to the Warsaw Pact. I mean, I was stationed 30 years ago in, you know, well, 30 years ago in Germany, you know, nuclear missile battalion. Essentially, I was sent there to essentially go ahead and counteract any Russian invasion or something like that. Well, when Gorbachev decided that he couldn't afford to go ahead and go with any more arms race, any more of this other nonsense, he went ahead and made a deal with Reagan for perestroika and getting along with the West and stopped spending so much money on weapons that really weren't needed. He made a deal with Reagan that, guess what, essentially, well, you know, pretty much that things are not going to be the way, you know, anymore. So essentially, as a result, they took out these nuclear weapons of which, which the Lance missile system was part of. They took out the Pershings and they took out the Lances. They did not develop the Lance 2. And essentially, just a few years after I got out in 1985, they went ahead and came up with that deal. Well, part of the deal was that NATO would not expand into the Warsaw Pact, which was made later on to pretty well convince the Russians to go ahead and turn loose of, well, East Germany, to go ahead and, you know, turn loose of Czechoslovakia, turn loose of Poland, turn loose of, you know, Bulgaria, you know, turn loose of all these other countries in which they had the Red Army. And essentially the deal was is that they would not, you know, these former Warsaw Pact countries would not become NATO countries, and they would not go ahead and put in missiles. And essentially that agreement has been violated, very much mainly by old Dumbia or Bush too. He's the one who violated the worst. And he got so bad that in 2008, here's the United States going ahead and getting these Georgians to go against these Alans, these Israelite, you know, remnants, although they're not really Israelites no more, essentially in South Ossetia, remember? And essentially what happens is that we were going ahead and using our proxies to go ahead and go against Russia. And as a result, Russia and China, they sort of understand is that, hey, you've got to go ahead and go against this rogue superpower which is causing most of the trouble in the world. The Chinese are not really causing very much trouble in the world, are they?
No.
Pretty well, they're causing trouble among their own, you know, they're pretty well using their own people as slave labor and to go ahead and make cheap DVD players and all this. And the Russians, what they're pretty well doing is, well, they're not invading Estonia or Latvia or Lithuania or doing any sort of thing. They're a little bit annoyed that the United States is talking about putting missiles to go ahead and go against the Iranians. So essentially the Russians don't have a problem with the Iranians, do they?
Well, they're in bed with the Iranians. I told you that Russia and China are in bed with the Iranians.
Well, I don't know if they're in bed with the Iranians, but essentially they're not enemies of the Iranians. They're not worried about what the, they're not worried that the Iranians are going to go ahead and invade South Russia or Western China, are they?
No, it's very
they're
true.
They're not worried about that at all. They're not worried. You know, they're not worried that the Iranians might nuke the Jews or whatever, or build, you know, nuclear weapons here. On a different edition of the Movement Turd, I went ahead and told people that I believe that the Russians or the Iranians already have nuclear weapons. I really do. They believe they have nuclear weapons because, well, I was in a small, you know, I mean, I was in one of three battalions of the Lance. You had six battalions of Lance, three, you know, fired HE cluster bomblets, and three fired nuclear weapons, and I was in one of the ones that fired nuclear weapons. But I used to see these people who fired, well, who had an MRS, which was as small as a 105-millimeter nuclear artillery shell. You know what I mean? Or 155, you know, a 155-millimeter artillery shell. And I explained to them that, you know, 105 means millimeter cannon, which is about 4 inches across. 155 is about 6 inches across. And then you have, it's called an 8-inch. It's really 203 millimeters, but it's 8 inches across. You understand what I mean?
Sure.
And generally, I think I talked, I'm not sure if I talked when you were present, but essentially about with the 155, usually you have this old propellant. You have what's called a propellant, or what other people call the gunpowder. You know, it's really propellant, what we call it. And it would be in what we call 8 bags. And some of the stuff would date from 1959, some from 1968. Well, for the shells, you know, a 155, you know, millimeter shell weighs about 200 pounds, just a little bit less than 200 pounds. It's 155, you know, it has a little, well, essentially it's steel mainly, but what it has a little brass ring to go ahead and grasp, you know, the barrel, you know, the rifling on the tube. You know, that's what we call a tube unit. And essentially it has a brass ring around it to go ahead and essentially make a seal. And it goes ahead and goes in there, and essentially you can go ahead and fire a 155. You know, most people don't like using the automatic loader because it can be sort of dangerous, and usually they prefer to go ahead and do it. But anyway, you'll have this propellant, and usually it's in 8 bags, but you only use the 8 bag if you're firing a nuclear round. You want to fire at extreme range because a nuclear round has a tendency to go ahead and have one heck of an explosion. You don't want to fire a nuclear round about 3 miles, you know, downrange of you, or even just 12 miles. You want to fire at, you know, extreme range of about maybe 15 or 18 or however, you know, however far you can go ahead and fire it. And very much, you know, if you go ahead and fire all 8, you know, all 8 bags here, usually what they do is they take the 8th bag, you know, which is a very, you know, big bag, and all they do is that they go ahead and fire bags 1 through 7. You know what I mean? And essentially, you know, bag number 8, it's labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 here. And some of them are pretty thin, and some of them are pretty thick. What it is propellant. And you can go ahead and make that artillery shell fire directly. If you go ahead and see a tank, you know, 100 yards or so away, you can fire a 155-millimeter shell as little as, you know, but most of the time it has high explosives in it here. But essentially, you can go ahead and fire it, but usually you'll have a whole bunch of bags here, and usually it's all 8 bags. So what you do is you go ahead and you burn later on at the fire, you go ahead and burn the, bag number 8. But essentially that's for you firing a nuclear round or a nuclear artillery round. But like I explained, you have all these shells. And essentially what goes ahead and determines when this, if you have a nuclear shell, when it goes and explodes is this fuse. It doesn't really have a guide, it don't have a guidance system. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a rocket in that. It don't have a guidance system. So essentially what it is just a lump of plutonium or uranium-238. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm well aware of what you depleted uranium-238.
Okay. All right, not the depleted uranium. I mean, this is not depleted uranium. This is the uranium here, which is not depleted. But usually, it's either plutonium or U-238, I believe. Okay, the vast majority of uranium is what, 235, right?
No. And I'm an expert in this now. 98.7% of all uranium is 238. The very small 0.3% is 235, which they use in the fissionable stuff. That's where they get hundreds of tons of this U-238 sitting down there in Oak Ridge in Tennessee, where they separate it out, and that's the way it is.
Okay, but what they've done is they've used what's called the breeder reaction to go ahead and create plutonium. Okay?
Well, now, I don't know about that, Martin. I mean,
okay, well, usually, but anyway, you know, talking to somebody who actually went ahead, was in the Army, who's seen this sort of thing, I mean, what you end up having is that I believe that when the Soviet Union fell apart in the 1990s, I believe that if you were a smart Iranian leader, what you would do is you go ahead and give a crooked Russian general, a couple million dollars in rubles or whatever, and essentially pay him to look the other way while you went ahead and stole, not the missile warheads, but essentially what you did is you stole all these here artillery shells. Essentially, you went ahead and stole, you went ahead and, you know, grabbed hold of essentially these weapons, you know, stockpiles. And I believe that, Iran actually does have nuclear weapons. You know, but they got to go ahead and, you know, they can't go ahead and let the general go to jail or anything like that. So they're talking about how they're separating it from centrifuges or what have you. I believe that Iran actually does have a nuclear weapon. You know what I mean? Or two. Or three or four.
They can put them on a plane. They can ship them from China, North Korea, Russia, the other place overnight. So it's a whole con job as far as I'm concerned. But that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, but they're bitching and pissing and moaning about, oh, how the Iranians, did you hear Romney? Under President Obama, Iran will get nuclear weapons under President Romney. They won't get it. And what happens is that we will sabotage their gasoline refinery, and we'll put on sanctions, and we'll do all the shit that normally would start a war. You know what I mean? Well, I'm not going to go ahead and answer the cell phone. But anyway,
the Jews were the ones who poisoned the Middle East with nuclear weapons in the first place, from stealing everything they could from them.
Well, they didn't steal them. I mean, you don't think that they had to steal nuclear weapons, do you?
Stole the secrets and everything else to make them themselves. That's a side.
Well, I sort of believe that they were actually given all these nuclear weapons they have in Demora. I believe they were actually given the nuclear, the plutonium, the uranium, and the rest here.
But then there's the hypocrisy of saying that they're worried about Iran and everything else. So at any rate,
well, of course it's hypocrisy. I mean, essentially, who's the only country that actually went ahead and, you know, used the nuclear weapons they developed?
I agree with you.
Yeah. And essentially, you know, the thing about it is that really they've done the stupid shit. They went ahead and destroyed Gaddafi, didn't they? Well, Gaddafi gave up going after nuclear weapons. But Kim Il-sung and Kim Il-jung, why, they didn't destroy Kim Il-sung and Kim Il-jung, did they?
Didn't.
No, why didn't they? You know, I mean, even though Korea's evil and all this sort of shit, how come they didn't go ahead and go, how come we haven't gone ahead and started a war with Korea?
Why haven't we started a war with Mexico? But that's another point.
Well, I don't believe we ought to have a war with Mexico. I just sort of believe we ought to deport all the Mexicans. You know, give them 30 days and then shoot the ones that stay beyond the 30 days. I don't believe we ought to have a war, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the Mexican War I sort of support is the Mexican War of 1847, where essentially we went ahead and, on behalf of the white settlers of Texas, we pretty well, you know, took a good portion of Texas that was in dispute, and we went ahead and took New Mexico and Arizona and California.
I agree with you.
And so I sort of support that Mexican War. Pretty well we took about half their claims, but essentially these Mexicans weren't living in most of this land we took from them. I mean, essentially, the Spanish were not strong enough to beat the dog shit out of them. You know what I mean?
I said all I really want to say for this evening. I'll let you know, but let me take.
Well, we're going to go ahead and talk about. I got a call. I'm going to go sort of ignore it here. I mean, it's not really important right now. There's nothing I can do about it. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and talk about Black Friday. You don't buy hardly anything new on Black Friday, do you?
No, it's a con job. Again, I believe it's a case of supply creating demand. People, there's so much hype. A lot of people go out and buy just to buy something, just to create the illusion. What a great thing that I've done. The easiest thing people can do is spend money. It doesn't take any brilliance. But tell you what, Martin, I'm getting a little tired. Let me take off. I'll give you my general idea about so-called Black Friday. They're really hyping it this year. It's unbelievable.
Well, they've hyped it every year. I'm probably going to go ahead and go. That's why I talked to you a little bit early. I'm going to go ahead and head out. Probably to Walmart tonight and buy a few things, you know, if they're on sale. What I do is that, well, be it food or whatever, I usually buy stuff when it's on sale. This year I don't really need anything. I'm not going to buy any more computers. I got 3 laptops and a $70, desktop or whatever here, an old $70 desktop. It works pretty good. Besides that, I'm probably going to go ahead and buy, some storage or a few other things here. And I'm going to try to go ahead and buy a Norton's 360, antivirus program and all this sort of thing. So I'm going to go ahead and buy some stuff.
I use this AVG. It works really well.
Yeah, it does. I may just go ahead and, if I can't go ahead and get it on sale, I'll just go ahead and end up using the AVG myself here. Anyway, so I don't know why you're pretty well content with the computer you have now?
Right.
Oh, okay. How old is it anyway?
About 4 or 5 years, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
the machines, I paid $20 for it, and I can't complain.
Well, I guess you're not really making, you know, a whole bunch of programming or anything like that anyway, so I guess it does what you need it to do here, okay?
That's right.
All righty, well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I'll talk to you later then, Russ, okay?
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Go with it. Anyway, I'll go ahead, since I had Russ talk a little bit about Iran and the rest of this place here. I'm not a very good interviewer. So anyway, we'll go ahead, we'll do the regular show, since it's about time for it to start. Hail Victory. Hey Maui, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat's life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on Rust and let come fly. Humping on the bank of the river. Stars are dancing, loves your twat. Humping you is what I live for. I just had a wigger thought. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat's life goodbye. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. We'll find a little CI chapel, a pair of goose and Eli or two, underneath the rumpled sheets, like a pair of minks we'll screw. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat's life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Viva la Vegas. Sparkling lights. Hop for us living. Pubic lice. I'm your dick in your hole now, honey. And you're my mamza's fox. You can diddle me without any money. No one but me gives a fuck. Hey pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat's life goodbye. Hey Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. see the Las Vegas sparkling lights. Pompous living, your pussy's not tight. I'm your dick in your hole now, honey, and you're my mattress box. You can do me without any money, no one but me gives a fuck. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat's life goodbye. Hey, nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on love and let's come fly. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat's life goodbye. Hey, nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Bet on lust and let come fly. Bet on lust and let come fly. Greetings, ogling wigger and manzer ass clouds across the fruited nutted Zog plank. In the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But mainly to the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call. Who Christ went ahead and called and who did go ahead and listen and answer. Greetings. This is the Movement Turd number 97.5, and I've already came up with a title for it called the Movement Turd Thanksgiving, and tonight's the 24th of November, 2011, is Thanksgiving, and, I had Russ go ahead and call in. I'll probably not have a very long show tonight because, Roxy sees a few little household goods that she wants to buy over at the Wally World. And I see a few things, although, to be honest with you, because I've gone ahead and moved Toshiba number 2 back to where Toshiba number 1 usually sits, moved Toshiba number 1 where Toshiba number 2 usually sits, essentially what I've decided to do this year is not buy any more computers, even though I do like Toshiba's the best here, and you have one of them for as low as, I think, $250, I'm not thinking of buying me another one, but I might. You never know. Essentially, what I'm thinking of doing is pretty well just using what I got right now, and later on just going ahead and buying. Now, I'll go ahead and buy probably another outside hard drive to go ahead and save the stuff here, but essentially I don't really have a lot of stuff I really need to buy at Wally World or Best Buy, but I'll go ahead and pick up a few things that are cheap, like thumb drives, other things here like that. So yes, it's going to go ahead and it's going to go ahead and essentially, if I get a Toshiba for what, maybe $250, I may go ahead and buy me another one. Toshiba, of course, here. I'm not too crazy about my Compact number 1 with the chiclet keyboards. The reason I've gone ahead and turned Toshiba number 2 into my main computer is that it has a wonderful keyboard. It's got a light metallic keyboard. So even if I go ahead and wear the letters off, I can go ahead and take out a magic marker and then just go ahead and write that. Now, I can't do that with the Toshiba number 1. And pretty well, I have worn grooves in the keys. Essentially, in some cases, when you go ahead and see me typing one-handed on Toshiba, I go ahead and I miss the keys. So essentially, I've decided to go ahead and do things that way. But I'll go ahead and buy, I'll go ahead and buy stuff that's on sale. In fact, that's what I do with food. I went ahead and bought two turkeys that was at 74 cents, limit one. So I went ahead and bought it. I went ahead and bought a small turkey of about 13 pounds at the Ramey's, and went ahead and cooked it and boiled it up and canned it, and I'm eating it today. And then I bought a 24-pound turkey and put it in the freezer. And took a turkey out from last year. I'm going to go ahead and cook it and put it up in canned jars. So essentially, that's what I like doing is I like buying stuff when it's on sale, even if I can't use it right away. So I may end up buying another computer. I don't know. I don't really know. But I'll go ahead and have a, well, I'll go ahead and do stuff here. Now, I'm a little bit annoyed that, quote, Black Friday started essentially at midnight, in some cases at 10 o'clock tonight, for household goods. So, essentially, Roxy wants to go ahead and get a waffle maker. We have a waffle maker now, but it's 35 years old, and it sticks quite a bit. So, generally, we want to buy one for about $2 or something here, $2.50, $3, and buy a few other things, maybe some extra crock pots, although I have plenty of them. And essentially, we're just going to go ahead and, oh, just go ahead and get stuff on sale. I'm going to go ahead and buy a few memory sticks or something like that here. So anyway, I had Russ Walker, and we talked about Iran, and my belief that Iran already has nuclear weapons because if they were smart, they went and bought them from crooked generals here and stuff like that here. But, yeah, well, right now, niggers are lining up right now in the dark, and you won't see so many niggers in the OSHO. You'll see a bunch of beaners, of course, though. There's plenty of them, and Anglo Mestizos. I mean, heck, that's the main one here. But anyway, someone said that the Moaner wouldn't be on tonight. In any case, one guy went ahead and asked me this question here. And, oh, by the way, I want to go ahead and say what I'm thankful for. What I'm thankful for is essentially when you've been locked up, in a nut house or a jail with criminals, you get to go ahead and know what criminals are like. That's why I can understand Jeremy Visser and Brian Wright and Finkelshimi and a bunch of other little critters here who over on the monkey barrel have been saying, just kill yourself, eat a shotgun, Marty. Well, hey, that's not normal white behavior. In fact, it's rather common prison behavior among Anglo Mestizos and Chomos and all the rest here. I had this character I call Kentucky Chomo Melange. I chewed on his ass. And essentially, the monkey barrel has gone downhill because essentially they used to pretend to be good white men, but they weren't very many good white men there. It was just mainly a bunch of mamsers. So anyway, I've gotten to where I had three Christmases. 2005, 2006, and 2007 spent, you know, caged up in a nut house. And although they treated you a little bit better at Christmas, essentially you still were someone there who was sent there illegally and locked up with nuts. Insane nuts who essentially would be a little bit more mellow around Christmas, but essentially it didn't hide the fact of what things were the way they were. I went ahead and looked at these people who went ahead and gave a Thanksgiving dinner to prisoners at Newton County, and essentially I was on a 40, what became a 40-day, 41, you know, night fast, you know, to protest essentially being, you know, illegally jailed up on bogus charges. With a crooked judge like Selby had already taken the kids. So, folks, generally, if somebody goes ahead and says, well, what kind of day it is, you know, people who know me, I'll say, hey, it's a wonderful day. I'm not locked up in a jail or a nut house. It's a real good day. Wonderful day. Okay? So, though, getting on with it here, you have a little bit of stuff that's going on in the movement. I'll go ahead and cover an email that I got about 3 days ago. And this person says, I've noticed this woman, Mona Montgomery, lately. You've had her on a show. I just listened to it. I'm not trying to stir up trouble, but she's been a regular on Finks and Eli's show for a long time. Well, mainly Finks. She finds Eli rather boring. I think her other name is Patricia Maui or Maui Patricia. And she pissed Fink and Eli off, so she hasn't been around for a while. If she isn't Patricia Maui, then she is one of the other two regulars on Fink and Eli. Of course, none of this possibly means anything. I just wanted to let you know about. Anyway, there's a difference between Mona Montgomery and Maui Patricia. In January, Maui Patricia pissed off Fink because she sided with Eli James. And she said that, in her opinion, as a nurse who worked with psychiatric patients, she thinks that Bill ought to be forcibly medicated, and because he's suffering from seasonal affective disorder. Well, I believe that Finkelschini probably ought to be forcibly medicated, although I think all Jews ought to be. I think they ought to be pokerized myself. But essentially, as a result, Finkelschini has hated Mary Patricia ever since. Now, she's somewhat of a mamzer, but, you know, she looks sort of humpable. Her name was, Patricia Eichen, and she's a big friend of Jurel and a bunch of the other little mamzers running around, playing Christian Dante. But on July 31st, it's a hilarious issue. She went ahead and got on Eli James' show, and Frankenwigger, he might still be very much annoyed at seeing that, but essentially what happens is that, where was it here? Maui Patricia went ahead and said, "Oh, Eli, I've been listening to your wonderful advice. I've gotten married and divorced here twice. This one guy, he was Aryan looking and had, beautiful, blonde hair and green eyes, but he was no good in bed, so I had to divorce him 15 minutes later here. And this other one, I'm going to be married to him for 4 days, because he's going to be in Vegas this long." And she was just horrifying the hell out of pure silly, who is an ignorant old twat who thinks she gets to tell men what to do. And essentially, It was hilarious. I was trolling on my computers, fighting with McFag, and here's Mary Patricia talking essentially that, well, guess what? The belief is that, you don't have a paper marriage certificate. I do believe in that. I do believe that the government has no business getting into the marriage license, business, and, essentially the marriage license dates from, I think, 1867, where this nigger wanted to marry a white woman in Indiana. He couldn't do it legally at the time, so he got a license or a special permit to do so. And now, essentially, Zog goes ahead and sells these licenses so they can go ahead and control the marriage and the fruit of the marriage, i.e. children. And this is not, it's really a religious ceremony. And, folks, I do not worry about Mormon marriages. I don't worry about Buddhist marriages or Muslim marriages or anything like that any more than I worry about, rooster and hen marriages or bull or cow marriages. I don't really call them marriages myself, although I don't go ahead and, mess with another man's wife. But, folks, to me, it's really nothing that I need concern myself with. And as far as getting a, quote, marriage license, I believe that you shouldn't get a marriage license. And I do believe that essentially an agreement between a man and a woman that they wish to be man and wife and, sexual consummation, I mean, as far as that's concerned, it is a marriage. So essentially, Molly Patricia was making fun of essentially the Eli Jameses and, notions about this sort of thing. But Eli James is somewhat correct here. But like she said, if she could go ahead and get a Christian identity marriage, she sure as hell could get a bill of divorcement, couldn't she? And we gone ahead and talked about that. But anyway, she was making so much fun of Eli James that Eli James ended up blocking her, and she got mad, and she hasn't showed up since, as far as I know, on any of the Eli James shows. Now, Maura Montgomery, I mean, I think she'd go ahead and mount any one of us here that had dick without benefit of marriage if she could. Okay? I'm not really worried about Mona. Mona, she doesn't want to admit it, but Mona really ought to join the first church, not of Christian identity, but the first church of solipsism. She ought to go ahead and join the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy and essentially give up the value meal churchianity and just simply worship herself and have done with it. Just cut out the male priest, cut out the sky pilots, cut out all these other characters, and just simply say, "I worship me." Rather than go ahead and dig and pick and choose through the Bibles to what the heck she's going to believe or obey or what have you, she simply ought to just simply say, "Hey, I worship me. It's all about me, 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 me." So that's what she ought to do. And I ain't worried about Molly Patricia. I'm not worried about Mona Montgomery. Okay, item number two. I see someone talk about Kalispell, Montana, and that reminds me. There's this guy up there, kind of new to the air, calls himself End Times Watchman. His first name is Billy, I think. always talk about weapons, survival, and all the talkie, displays extreme emotions and yelling and shit. The thought finally occurred to me that End Time Watchman Billy is probably an FBI plant. Whatever Freeman talk in public the way he does. Nobody. Normally, I'm not much on gossip, but I'm breaking the rules today. Well, folks, I have a very good rule of thumb. Folks, unless they're long-term friends and or kinsmen that you can trust, essentially, you don't need to talk about your guns. You don't need to talk about your, you know, how much food you saved. You don't need to talk about really anything with people you don't really know. It's sort of like some character who goes ahead, and I've seen it on Finkelsteinies, I've seen it on Bill's. Did he make her up spaghetti? No, she didn't make any spaghetti dinner for Thanksgiving. Essentially, when Mumpsnut showed up, we went ahead and just cooked. I just cooked some spaghetti, and I went ahead and added some spaghetti sauce that I had home canned, and along with some Hunts or something like that. So essentially, it was meat-filled spaghetti sauce, but Mumpsnut was. You know, he claims it was too acidic or something like that. I think Mumpsnuts was scared shitless. He was scared shitless, so I'd detect him and denut him or something like that. And essentially, that's why he upchecked. It was just because of fear. Reminds me of Trader Glenn Miller. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of people who think I'm just freaking nuts as can be. And they worry about that sort of thing. But, you know, getting on with it, if you have somebody who goes ahead and makes a bunch of stupid questions and talks about how tough he is, and talks about how many guns he has, like Brian Rio or, Commander McFag, about how many guns he has, and how he has the latest and greatest Class 6 weapon that costs more. Folks, you can go ahead, I think tonight, you can go ahead and buy a synthetic stock Remington at Walmart's. I think I've seen that for, you know, starting at 10 o'clock if you want. You can go ahead and buy, you know, 30-06, you know, synthetic stock Walmart. And that would be as good a gun as any. Less than $300, and it's guaranteed for 2 years. I mean, essentially, you could go ahead, it comes with a scope. I mean, the second of all, it comes matter. All you have to do is just simply, you know, buy it and shoot it. I mean, you know, synthetic stock, I mean, you know, what's the problem? But folks, do you really need a, you know, all these guns and toys and all this other stuff here? And the answer is you don't need this stuff. But you have these people, essentially, what do they believe in? And they believe in, well, essentially, not so much Yahweh. They believe in, well, weapons. And they go ahead and they live in fear and they hide from everybody and they talk about how tough they are. Folks, people like that is somebody you really don't want anything to do with. Because if he's talking about what he has, allegedly has, he's going to go ahead and he finds out what you have, he's going to go ahead and talk about what you allegedly have. And he may not be just talking to the internet or something like that, he might be going ahead and just talking to Zog. See, that's what's happening there on the militia bowel movement and the rest here, is people who go ahead and talk. Now, folks, someone who goes ahead talks usually is not going to do anything. You can go ahead and believe that they're not going to go ahead and actually do anything. So, what to do and, you know, what to do and what to worry about? And the answer is, don't worry about these people who go ahead, essentially, and run their mouths here. I've seen quite a bit of, well, I've made fun of it. I call it the Wikipedia Talks to CI of Wandering Mamsers. Now, folks, like I tried to explain to Joe Pennsylvania about it over a year ago when he got kicked out by Finkelsteinie, you know, I mean, Joe was simply saying, well, if I'm an Israelite, you know, the law of Yahweh is written on my heart. What do I need all your translations and what do I need all this and that sort of thing for? And Fink went ahead and had a fit about that. Well, you need all this Talmudic horseshit. You need more stuff provided by Fink. Folks, some cases this show, has gone ahead and has covered biblical, you know, subjects, covered biblical matters. But most of the times it just covers what is going on in the bowel movement. And folks, there's certain sort of behaviors which are Israelite behaviors, and there's a good deal of pretense and Talmudization and Pharisaism. Well, you can't do this and you can't do that, even though it doesn't say you can't do this or can't do that in the Bible. In the Bible, essentially, it's not like the Pharisaical Jews are. Essentially, the Bible just simply says what you shall not do. The rest of the stuff is pretty well freedom to pretty well do whatever you want. Now, folks, generally, if you're a Christian Israelite, you don't want to go ahead and rob your brother. You don't want to go ahead and live off of him. You don't want to go ahead and screw your neighbor. You don't want to go ahead and run after his wife. You don't want to go ahead and steal his cow. You don't want to go ahead and do a number of things here because you're an Israelite. You don't really want to go ahead and do anything. You are lawful in and of itself here. You have the virtues of civilization. But essentially, there are some thou shalt nots here, and they're really common sense things. Now, what you'll have is that you'll have all these mamzers, and I've noticed this, you'll have these mamzers show up. They'll come into Christian identity and essentially, well, thou shalt not do that. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that here. And you say, well, why in the Bible does it say this here? You can't cuss, Linstead. Okay, well, what does it say? I don't cuss here. I'm not taking the name of, you know, my Lord in vain. I'm not swearing by anything or any by anybody. Where am I going ahead and essentially if I chew on your worthless mams or ass, I mean, how am I violating the law of Yahweh? And the answer is I'm not. You see, Jesus Christ used to do the same thing against the Pharisees of the time, which were, in many cases, a bunch of Edomites, a bunch of Canaanites sneaking in as religious authorities. He just simply just run wild over them. You know what I mean? So, I'm sort of looking at this here. Well, no need to go ahead and look at a troll of Mona. Mona is not really particularly dangerous. She wants to go ahead and make case. I think she's pretty lonely. Okay? I think, you know, well, niggers and beaters first, you know, future, you know. Well, I'm looking at this thing here. Well, I'm looking at the chat right now. Anyway, in the case of Mona, Mona wants to go ahead. She wants to play in the movement. She wants to go ahead and talk in the movement. If you want to go ahead and get a whole awful lot of sense out of it, you're pretty well wasting your time. But she's, I think, mainly harmless. There's people like Scott Davis Fidel, a.k.a. Hatting the Meerkat. Essentially, he is... Well, essentially, he has his little hatreds. You know, number one hatred is Covington. Number two hatred is Edgar Steele. He's been pretty well annoyed at me for supporting both Harold Covington and Edgar Steele. I haven't supported Edgar Steele or Carol Covington blindly. I've had some criticisms about them. But essentially, they are trying to go ahead and do something. Now, I don't agree with what they're doing necessarily. I believe that essentially worrying about a Uyghur revolution or having a soft revolution rather than an overwhelming civil war in which the vast majority of Uyghurs and, you know, Manzers are destroyed, why, essentially I'm not trying to go ahead and build anything. Essentially what I'm trying to do is, well, I'm sort of a little bit thankful that this great tribulation seems to be getting closer every day. For example, they were talking about how this Black Friday, they're talking about maybe spending a little bit more money, but other people say, well, they may spend a little bit less. But folks, you have people who understand that there's a great recession going on that's not doing very well. Okay? So, Peterless has a good deal of listeners. Now, the trouble with Peterless is that essentially I think he's not a Halakhic Jew. His mother is not a Jew, but essentially I think he has a Jew father. And essentially he acts sort of like a sort of mean drone sometime. Last Saturday I went ahead and called in and he whined like a pussy about how I was oh, keeping him up here, you know, just right not close to hour two. And since he yacked for another half hour, 45 minutes, and then he went ahead, and here he is over going over to Gillette's. One of Gillette's little shows, or Angle and Cecil's Truett shows here, and then whining about, well, Lindstedt's here, he's spamming, he's doing this, he's doing that. You know, the thing about it is it Peterless, Mamser, whatever his name here, and I don't think he's in Iceland. I think he's probably a Jew boy transmitting from maybe New York City or from, well, Michigan or wherever. Folks, if you go ahead and look, when he goes ahead and holds the show, he holds it at, well, 6 o'clock my time, which is 7 o'clock Eastern. Essentially, he seems to go ahead and hold this show, not according to Icelandic times, but according to, well, American times. According to Zoglin times. That's when he holds the show, okay? So, you know, whether he has nefarious, you know, why does Jews guy say he's in Iceland? Well, same thing. Wait, this little Mamser that's over on Finkelshimi calls himself Icelander 93. You know, pretending to be a what? Oh, let's see. Pretending now to be an 18-year-old Icelander. And I went ahead and see a picture of him. He had dark cork eyes. Looked like a Mamser. Essentially, normally do 17-year-old or 18-year-old people from Iceland get on religious or quasi-religious or shows? And the answer of it is that no. The character wants to go ahead and make himself be a Mamser. He's trying to go ahead and make himself into a Christian identity, Aryan, pure blood here. So essentially people won't know what he really is what he's trying to do. Okay? So, anyway, it's just people playing an act here. Essentially, I'm going to pretend to be an Aryan. So, okay. Now, if they were smart, you know, if they were smart, and by the way, you know, he pretends to be someone who has gone ahead and gone to Iceland. Well, he keeps American hours, most certainly. He's going ahead and talking to Americans. Now, how many people who are in Iceland go ahead and talk to Americans? Folks, 30 years ago, I was stationed in Germany. And folks, you didn't have them, oh, I wish I could go ahead and talk to somebody in America. The vast majority of people are not greatly interested in what goes on beyond their own country's limits. Most of them aren't even interested in what goes on beyond their neighborhood limits. So why is this person acting that way? And the answer is he's acting that way because, hey, he's wanting to pretend to be something. He's actually a Zogling or a Jew or something like that. He wants to go ahead and pretend to be something he's not. Like a white man from Iceland. Yes, I moved to Iceland. Well, folks, if you moved to Iceland, why are you going ahead and getting on Nimbuses now here? I mean, that would not, I mean, let's say I went ahead and Zog went ahead and ran me off and I ran to Sweden or something like that. Now, would I be going ahead and having, you know, I might, but on the other hand, probably not. Probably not. I mean, folks, how much is this normal behavior? How much of this is normal behavior? It's normal behavior among people who want to go ahead and fool somebody, who wants to go ahead and make a pretense of being something they're not. You have a lot of that sort of thing happening among liars and thieves and criminals. That's what you end up having in Jews, pretending to be something they're not, like Arians. Eli James pretends to be something he's not. You know, Finkelstein pretends to be something he's not. You got to go ahead and laugh about this sort of thing. Now, oh, by the way, okay. Well, they prevailed. Essentially, they're trying to go ahead and get back on the back door in Iceland is what they're trying to do here. So, okay. Well, I don't know. I posted a few comments here, but essentially I think they go ahead and are able to read my, you know, I mean, folks, if you're worried about, if you're, and I've had some people tell me is that they don't want to post over on NimBusters anymore because they're not able to use the, you know, the Tor browser. And folks, many of the time I've gone ahead and seen somebody pretending to be me, and they'll post idiotic shit like, "Hey, I want to kiss my grandson's penis." Ah! Well, folks, that's not me. Go ahead and post that. But folks, if you worry about what TARDs are posting over on NimBusters, well, that means it's because you're a TARD. Okay? Alright? Anyway, let's see. I want to go ahead, and the second thing I want to go ahead and talk about, let's go ahead and see how much time I have on there. I'm going to go ahead and make a stop. I'm going to go ahead and stop here. I'm going to go ahead and I think I've pretty well talked about Mona and about what I'm thankful for, and especially what I'm thankful for is not being in jail or not being locked up in a nut house. Because generally, during those days, the gray days, I call them the gray days, locked up, even in institutions, not as bad as a prison, but it's still fairly grim. Essentially, here you are, and they've gone ahead and given you a little bit extra money so you can go ahead and buy a little bit extra stuff at the canteen. And essentially, you can go ahead and stock up on your coffee and stock up on this or stock up on that. And the nuts usually did not plan ahead or do any sort of planning. They go ahead and just chow down, eat everything they had, and where I had a full wall walker. But still, it's a gray, you know, it's a gray living, you know, in a nut house to where essentially you're being forced to take, you know, drugs that you don't need, but they're only being used as an excuse to keep you there. And yeah, you're not close to your friends. I mean, occasionally Roxy would go ahead and visit me about every 3 or 4 months. You know, she could go ahead and find the money to go ahead and come up there to see me. And folks, it's, you know, it's a gray existence for somebody who's locked up in prison, who somebody's locked up in a nut house or something like that here. A gray existence, you know, being locked up in jail. And folks, I mean, essentially the pigs are just evil pigs, even on Christmas. Especially in some case on Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever. So, what am I thankful for? I'm thankful that essentially I'm a free man, or relatively as free a man. In fact, I'm a freer man than most. Because when you've reached the age of 53, you know, very close to being 54, I mean, in a day and a month, I'll be, on Christmas Day, I'll be, what, 54? And I never expected to live so long. I have some worse teeth than I did last year at this time. I'm going to end up probably having to get a bunch of them pulled out. And this coming year, I'm thinking of running for sheriff. Because I can run for sheriff because I control the Newton County National Socialist Libertarian Party in Newton County. So I can run for sheriff. Get on the ballot. I can't go ahead and get on there. And by the way, one of the things I did this weekend is I got my notice of appeal. I went ahead and paid $455. I sent it out Tuesday. So essentially the thing should be filed and the notice of appeal ready. Okay? So, in any case, and what I'm going to go ahead and say is that actually I sort of agree with the notion of throwing people in prison or killing them rather than to allow them to go ahead and run for public office. Because that's what I intend to go ahead and do against, you know, or have my warlords or anybody like that here. Folks, the entire world does that. Essentially, it all goes ahead and goes against people. You know, bitches and pisses and moans about what the Iranians are doing, but they do the same damn thing in this country. And essentially, you know, I mean, why in the world make a pretense that we live in freedom and when we don't here? But I want to go ahead and stick to what I'm grateful for. What I'm grateful for is that I remember, you know, I've gone ahead and thought several times here, and even while I was living, is that, folks, this is not where I want to spend Christmas or Thanksgiving or any day, really. And, folks, they may have treated you a little bit better, gone ahead and let you have a coffee break every, 3 hours of your own coffee. to where if you end up having a bag of coffee, you can go ahead and drink that bag of coffee. But folks, most of the time, they just treated you like crap. It was a gray, evil, it was a gray, evil place here. So I'm so grateful. Essentially, I'm able to go ahead and eat whenever I want, as much as I want, or as little as I want. And essentially, you know, I mean, I really miss my grandchildren. I always wonder about how they're doing, how they're feeling, whether or not they're even, you know, remembering me, even think of me at all. I think of them. And folks, I mean, I'm really grateful to be free, relatively free, and in relatively good health. And essentially, to where, hey, I have more than enough to eat. I'm able to go ahead and talk to people and pretty well do my best to try to teach them how they should go here, but really not so much try to teach them, just simply remind them in their Israelite heart who and what they are. That's what I seek to do. So anyway, yes, I've been for 3 years. I've had three Thanksgivings in captivity, and I've had three Thanksgivings in relative freedom. And folks, I'd much prefer Thanksgivings in freedom. Much far, or relative freedom. None of us are really free and resolved to do exactly what we need to do or what we should be doing. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Hail victory.
You're a mean kike, Rab, I think. You really are a Jew. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as a kike, Rab, I think. You're a bad banana with a greasy nigger nose peel. You're a monster, Rab, I think. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You got garlic in your soul, Rab, I think. I wouldn't touch you with a 666-foot pole. You're a vile one, Rab, I think. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Rab, I think. The choice between the two of you, I take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Rab, I think, Oshini. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Rab, I think. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stink, stunk. You're a rotter, Rab, I think. You're the king of sinful twats. Your fart's a dead tomato spot. Your moldy purple spots, Rab, I think. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable. Mangled up and tangled up twats. You nauseate me, Rab, I think. With a nauseous super nos. You're crooked jerky jockey, and you ride a crooked mat twat, Rab, I think. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toast-stew sandwich with arsenic sauce.
Okay, folks, we're back on the third or fourth section of the movement turd, although some of them won't be as much. It's around, 8:51. I'm not going to have a rather long show tonight. In fact, I'll probably end it in about a half hour or so, so I can go ahead and go to Walmart at 10 o'clock Central Time and buy a few kitchen appliances, and then maybe hang around. You'll hang around and, hang around for a little while. And then I'll go to, maybe around midnight when the electronic stuff goes. I'll go ahead and buy a few things here. Seriously, I don't think I'm going to buy me another computer, but I would like to buy I'd like to go ahead and buy a few little storage devices. Essentially, I don't really need this stuff here. I really do not. Really don't need this stuff at all. In fact, I got enough stuff left over from last Black Tuesday. I still got some one and a half terabyte Seagate hard drives to go ahead and store plenty of stuff here. But, folks, it's just like about everything. I just go ahead and buy stuff when it's on sale, even if I don't need it. Because, hey, I have the money, and therefore, and things are not going to go ahead, I believe, and get any cheaper. In fact, I believe it's going to be hyperinflation. So usually, as a general rule, I'll go ahead and buy anything on food, electronic gear, what have you. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it, okay? But anyway, on the second portion, Monday night, early Tuesday morning, I went ahead and made a parody song about April Gaby. And I'll go ahead and play that April Gaby parody song. But, look at me, I'm April Gaby, horny as a skank can be. I forget the rest of it, but, to the tune of this, look at me, I'm Sandra Dee. And essentially, when I go ahead and mention Wigger Swill Williams, I go ahead and mention Harold Covington, I go ahead and mention Carl Garst. And essentially, Harold and Carl doesn't want any pussy off of April Gaby at all. And that's what gets me about this wonderful movement. You have all these people who are talking about the 14 words and all this other good, happy horse shit, but essentially, it's all about them. It's all about what I should do here, what I should, look at me, look at me, look at me. And what April Gaby has done is essentially she's done is just simply screw a bunch of idiots, including Wiggerswell. And she sort of thinks that because she's a skank, she has a right to go ahead and determine, who is or who is not, legit. Now, I was going ahead and listened to Harold Covington's Radio Free Northwest podcast. I think it's number 95, 96, something like that. And, that's all well and fine here. But, essentially, you're still bitching about character. And about how it'd be nice to go ahead and have somebody determine who is and who is not legitimate in the movement. Get down, puppy dog. But the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of people who don't think that I'm legitimate in the movement. Well, let's see. When was it? I think it was Sunday night or Monday or whenever. William B. went ahead and posted on my forum that, guess what? Here is Carolyn Yeager. Let's go ahead and see him here. The Carolyn Yeager, who I think is in heat with Rabbi Finkelschini, essentially, she was, Finkelschini was on Voice of Retards. They call it Voice of Reason. Let me just tell you about Voice of Reason. Way back on Republic Radio, you had old Peter Schenck. I call him Peterless Skank. And essentially, Peterless Skank was the number of these here little retards. And right now, in the bowel movement, everybody has an internet radio show. Morse Gallant has one, Anglo Cecil True has one, the Moltz and Goetz have one. Oh, by the way, I found out that essentially, pretty well mullet went ahead and did away with his AryanNations88.com website. He went and took that down, but he, now he has ANSP, you know, something or another. You know, he's still got his form, he's still got it, but now he has it under, essentially he's no longer call himself Aryan Nations, so he can go ahead and work with Colette. And who knows how long that's going to go ahead and last, because essentially most of these little mini-fuhrers do not get along well with each other. Okay? So, getting on with it, anyway, way back in February 2005, I'm making fun of Trader Glenn Miller about him being a rat, about how he essentially is nothing more than a traitor. I call up in Republic Radio on Peter LeSkank's show, and essentially what Peter LeSkank does is when I go ahead and ask this question of, okay, Alex Flinder, okay, Trader Glenn Miller, where are you going to get the money to form a new political party, a new nationalist party in Missouri? He immediately cut me off. Well, the answer of it is where they're getting money. The answer is they're getting out of the petty cash drawer of the Department of Zogland Insecurity. This was a couple months after, essentially, the Christmas coup of 2004, when, essentially, Billy Roper, because he was working with Pastor Richard Butler, or he used to work with Pastor Richard Butler, and because he was working with David Lane, who both of who hated and despised Trader Glenn Miller, essentially, everybody knew that Trader Glenn Miller was giving money to Alex Winter to run VNNF. So essentially, here they are talking about this, you know, White Freedom Party or White Patriot Party or whatever. And the question was, where are you going to get the money? Now, folks, if you want to be a racist political party, what you can do is you can take over a third party at the county level, at the county seat, at the precinct level. Essentially, you can go ahead and take over this small party here. And generally, I've told people, take over the Libertoons. Or if you can't, take over the Farm Party. Or take over the Constipation Party. Or do whatever. And essentially, these small little third parties, which are just nothing but dogfall fronts, essentially they know about racists going ahead and want to take them over. So they go ahead and pass a whole bunch of laws, which essentially are not congruent with usually the laws which have something to do with elections. You see, the whole purpose of supposed laws is that supposedly things are supposed to go ahead and be done at the grassroots. Now, actually, it's not. Actually, most of these political parties are just simply owned by the Jews, and essentially they do whatever they have to do, be it support Israel. The Republicans, why, if you went ahead and listened to their little quote debates, about the only one who essentially said, well, let Israel just go ahead and work its way out of its own here with Ron Paul. Essentially, here is Mitt Romney. Well, President Romney will go ahead and there will not be any nuclear, will not be a nuclear Iran here. If Obama is president, there will be a nuclear Iran. If Mitt Romney isn't, there won't be. Essentially, here's Mitt Romney essentially talking about not only doing sanctions, but going ahead and somehow, approving of destroying a nuclear, supposedly a nuclear missile capacity, and also going ahead and not only doing that, but attacking their gasoline refinery. Essentially, that's essentially what these people are talking about. Essentially, they get to go ahead and engage in acts of rebellion or warfare. And essentially, a country which don't have nuclear weapons won't be able to go ahead and defend itself. Oh, by the way, look at something on CNN where you have these stupid dotheads slapping men around or something for something or another. I don't know what the hell the deal with that is. But, I guess it has something to do with, with a bunch of women or something like that, and they're slapping men around or doing whatever they want to them, which is what essentially, has that skank Demi Moore here. I think her little worthless little baby boy husband here was screwing around on old Demi or something like that here. But anyway, okay. Well, okay. Lloyd, you know, Lloyd sucks. Okay. All right. Well, I caught it here, number nine here. Anyway, let's see. I guess nine is, you know, Time Lord or something here. You know. Oh, guest number 17, he came in here. You know, Glenn Miller served his nation proudly. Yeah, he served his nation proudly. I think he was spying on the Ku Klux Klan towards back then as an Anglo mestizo here. I mean, shit, this child molestation shit here. Oh, by the way, so, I mean, generally what I do is I don't worry about people calling me a child molester because, hey, essentially what you're doing is you're telling me is that, A, you believe in Zog, whatever Zog lies, Zog tells you. Essentially, you're a white-hating mamzer here who likes the fact that white men are put in prison on bogus child molestation charges. So usually, like I went ahead and explained over on the Monkey Barrel, the thing to do is that when you go ahead and come across some wigger or mamzer, you know, within the movement claiming that you're a child molester, what you do is you not only make him eat his own nuts and his spawn's nuts, you go ahead and you go after his neighbors and his friends and his family for essentially putting up with such a piece of shit. You don't worry about this sort of thing, okay? No, I'm not ready. We'll leave it around 9:30, a little bit after 9:30, okay?
If we don't leave before, I won't get no damn
chair. Okay, so Roxy's go ahead bitching about me to go ahead and leave. But anyway, over on Voice of Retards, and folks, I don't know what the heck is going on here. Hell. Anyway, where am I at here? Let's see. Anyway, let's go ahead and look here. When was it? It was over on the 21st. It was over on the 21st. So that was what? Oh, 3 days ago. So that would have been, what, Monday night or so. You had on Voice of Retards, essentially William B. said, you know, the Finkelschini was calling in. And what happens is around 9:10 p.m. I went ahead and called in, and, well, it was Carolyn Yeager said, okay, well, we're ready for his call here. I said, excuse me, this is Pastor Martin Lindstedt. And, you know, you do know that William Fink was in prison for 12 and a half years because as a Jersey City jailer, he went ahead and murdered a prisoner. He had to serve 12 years for that. And Carolyn Yeager said, Mr. Lindstedt, you don't do yourself any favor by going ahead and mentioning this. I'm going to have to cut you off. Well, no, she didn't have to cut me off. Essentially, I'd always wondered where Carolyn Yeager came from. Did she know that Fink went ahead and murdered a prisoner? Did she know that Fink was a pig who went ahead and murdered a prisoner in jail? And the answer is, I believe she did. But I gave her a chance to go ahead and have Fink explain himself, and essentially, she knew damn well who I was. And she did cut me off. And later on, from what I heard, essentially they cut off that exchange. They cut off the live exchange. So, in any case, this is what you have in these so-called fake revisionist movements. You had like Peter, you know, Peerless Mamzer, Peerless Shank. In December of 2008, he went ahead and screamed about how it was the next Lee Harvey Oswald and how all the wiggers would be put in prison here as a result of me supposedly killing the nigger. And essentially, that was the next Lee Harvey Oswald, next Tim LaFey, all this sort of stupid crap. Well, folks, it might as well have been Brian Rio telling him this here, long before I knew Brian Rio. And essentially, he would not let me have a chance to speak. And essentially, Voice of Retards was a VNNF operation, you know, originally. And what they do is they're just like all these other retards. What they do is, you know, like Eli James or Bill Fink, they go ahead and scream about the Jews, 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 all the time, when Eli James is a Jew, and Fink, I believe, is a Jew as well. Essentially, the whole purpose of it is to go ahead and essentially, rather than worry about what the main problem is, and the problem is Uyghurs allowing Jews to run wild, allowing Jews to go ahead and parasite off and destroy the social order and the economy and the rest here. Essentially, they scream about the Jews, but there's nothing to be done about it. Essentially, it's just sort of steam to scream about the Jews and pretend to be white nationalists, because you scream about the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, all the time. You're not really going ahead and bringing up any actual opposition to the Jews or whatever they do. So anyway, this bitch, Carolyn Yeager, just went ahead and cut me off. And, you know, I mean, hey, that answered the question as to what she knew about Fink. She knows full well about Fink. She knows enough to know that, you know, one of Fink's enemies is myself. So, folks, the entire time she was doing the show, she knew all about Fink. But she doesn't want to learn about Fink, because she doesn't want it on her show, and she certainly doesn't want it on Voice of Retards. Now, Voice of Retards, that's the name I gave the so-called Voice of, you know, Reason. Pretty well, when Shank was running it here, he was never going to interview me again. He went ahead and censored me because I asked a question. And I think it's a legitimate question. Where do you get the money to go ahead and form the so-called White Patriots Party? Answer? Well, they didn't form any White Patriots Party. There's enough money for that. What Trader Glenn Miller has done is pretty well make it impossible for any white man to run as an open white racist in Missouri on either the federal or the state level. That's what Trader Glenn Miller's done. Trader Glenn Miller has pretty well destroyed any peaceful political solution in Missouri and everywhere else, too, I believe. Because essentially, if you can go ahead in Missouri and get away with not allowing an open, quote, white supremacist to run, you can go ahead, and why can't you do it in any other state? Well, and the answer is, well, you can do pretty, you know, the government does whatever the hell it wants to. So we don't live in a democracy, and we don't live in a representative republic or constitutional republic. Essentially, what we do is that we live under the so-called forms of it. And the reason that you have the forms is that essentially you don't want to go ahead and get to where you have open civil war and open machine gun rule. You don't want that sort of thing to happen. So anyway, all these Zog False Front, you know, programs, essentially on Voice, I've called Voice of Retards. I hear that the guy who actually runs it, I used to call it Mikey Jukes Kalikak O'Connor. But somebody else said that old Mikey's actual real name used to be Cohen. And just like John Kerry's grandfather, he went ahead and changed his name to Kerry. You know, he's a Hungarian Jew, changed his name to Kerry because, you know, from County Kerry. Well, essentially, he's a Jew named Cohen who changed his name to Connor. And that's who's running Voice of Retards. It's a Zog False Front. And what they did is that they went ahead and disabled, about a couple months ago, the comment section. They don't want anybody commenting at all upon their show. You're supposed to go ahead, just like the lamestream media, you're supposed to go ahead and just eat whatever crap they feed you. Be it Jamie Kelso's Uyghur News Now, or Paul Fromm, who also believes in censorship, supported Brian Real and Finkelshiny going ahead, whining like a pussy about censorship in Canada, and he supported Brian Real's essentially taking down my website and forum, you know, in Montreal, Canada, you know, around, you know, in December of last year. I said, you're a fraud, is what you are. And Carolyn Yeager? Hear these people whine, and I think it's common within the revisionist movement. You whine like a pussy about Jew censorship, about how you can't talk about how the whole hoax is a fake, but yet you have censorship. You will not go ahead and allow anybody who disagrees with you to show up. Well, folks, why do I need that any more than I need a Jew? I mean, folks, the censorship by Uyghurs and Mamsers, is that Trump censorship by Jews? And the answer is it doesn't. Okay? Well, the thing about it is I can't remove Fink. Essentially, I got removed on Voice of Retards. But essentially, what this told me is that essentially, Carolyn Yeager is a fake. She's a fraud. Because here she is whining about how the Jews won't allow this and the Jews won't allow that. And essentially, when it comes down to it, she will lie and she'll censor. Just like the Jews do. In fact, she's more contemptible than Jew, because here she is, she's, in addition to being a liar and a hypocrite, in addition to being a liar, she's a hypocrite as well. A false front. So yeah, she knew full well who I was, and she knew full well what Fink had done. She knew it full well. And there was not going to be any changing or doing anything different with Fink. She's going to go ahead and do whatever the hell she wanted to do. So, that's pretty well what I went ahead and further found here, is that Voice of Retards, essentially it seems to me that Voice of Retards has gone ahead and supported their pet Jew to pretend to be Christian identity. Answer, William Fink. Now, in the case of Morris Gillett, in the case of Morris Gillett and Anglo Mestizo Truitt, they've gone ahead and decided to support their choice of Jew. Dogs decided to support their choice of Jew, and it's Eli James. So essentially, you end up having the position of two different Jews propped up. Eli James, in the case of Morris Gillett and Anglo Mestizo Truitt, and Paul Mullett under so-called Christian identity. And you have William Finkelschini in the case of Voice of Retards, propping them up. And Obagender Bender is over on Finkelschini's side. But essentially, that's all it is just mainly Zog, they're just Zog false fronts, they're just Zog plants. And you have all these characters who play their little game. Now, Harold comes and says, I wish I had something like Tony Soprano going ahead and beating the crap out of people who claim to be white nationalists but who aren't. Well, who decides who's white nationalist? And the answer of it is that, hey, chances are if there was a Tony Soprano knocking the crap out of stuff, is that, essentially, they might only be paying a visit on me, but they'd be paying a visit on you, Harold Covington, and beating your ass. Okay? Oh, guest number 17 is a Jew pedophile. You see, unlike Finkelschini, unlike Eli James, I don't practice censorship. I mean, number 17 can go ahead and yap whatever stupid shit he wants to. Now, I would like to find out who number 17 is so I can go ahead and make him eat his nuts here and make his family go ahead and eat their nuts and his neighbors go ahead and, eat their nuts too here, for going ahead and putting up with this piece of shit. I mean, that's why I go ahead and puts on over at Harold Covington's. I went ahead and seen the other day, here's a retard, and what he does, he looks like a criminal. Folks, I've been locked up with criminals. And folks, generally a criminal always believes that everybody else is guilty. He's not guilty because he didn't get the full benefit of law. And, the lying pigs went ahead and, just went after him, but everybody else was guilty. So to them, of course, I'm a child molester. They go ahead and they claim that here. And the answer to do with something like that is that essentially, once you go ahead and you find out who they are, you just simply, you know that they're not on your side. You know that they're just simply evil criminals who will naturally side with Zog. You see, criminals understand that if you end up having a true military dictatorship run upon racial and religious principles, essentially, you wouldn't go ahead and make the taxpayer support a long-time criminal, who because he's a Manzer or because he's a Jew is just going to go ahead and do nothing but, be a parasite. Essentially, eventually, after the second or third offense to where this criminal is not going to get any better, you simply take, go ahead and give him what's called a Lubyanka sandwich. You just go ahead and put a bullet, 9mm bullet in his head, and go ahead and charge his relatives for the price of the bullet. And they understand is that, hey, you've dealt with this criminal problem. So I had over on, I call it the Monkey Barrel. It used to be called the Beer Barrel. Essentially, I used to have this character I call Kentucky Chomo Melungeon. You know, he used to be called Fee Wigger Meerkat, and he called himself Shady Boob. And I pointed out that, you know, shoot, these people act the way they are because they're Mandarins, because they're Jews. And I've had the same thing happen with, well, these people who support JT Reddy, who obviously is a big, fat, lying faggot. I think he's white, but he's just a big, fat, wigger faggot who essentially acts like a Zogbot, who goes ahead and recruits retards and then, you know, is going for the next bunch of retards to go ahead and recruit. And you will have all these characters, and what happens is that, yes, they may end up being wigger criminals, although they look rather dark-eyed. They look like Angel Mestizo criminals. And, oh, this is Cynthia Moncrief. An ugly-looking Mandarin. I mean, tattoos everywhere. What is with all these tattoos? What is with all these tattoos? I have seen, in the nut house, I've seen people who were just young, 19 or 20 years old here, and here they showed up in the summer, and they don't have their old home clothes yet. And so they're wearing short sleeves, and essentially they're worried about getting thunked in the head by niggers, seeing all their nice, wonderful racial SS tattoos. And what they are is, here are these, you know, wiggers, you know, nutty wiggers, going ahead and having enough brains to realize that I don't look very nice in my SS tattoos. You know, if I have to go ahead and live on a ward which is 60% nigger, 60% violent nigger. And, you know, I've seen these tattoos. They don't do anything here. They're just simply, you know, I don't know. I mean, I gotta agree with this Jew named Jim Kessler, is that essentially these people are not even good looking anymore. They're not even Aryan good looking. They're just ugly creatures who want to go ahead and just put a brand or a tattoo claiming to be something that they're not, all over their hide. Okay? Oh, looks like Mona showed up here. Well, Mona, we were talking about you a little bit. But in short, I'm going to go ahead and probably have a short program tonight. I'm going to go ahead and have a short program tonight. But where was I? You know, because I'm going to go ahead and go to Wallet World and try to go ahead and buy some kitchen appliances or something here. So, anyway, where was I? Where was I? In any case, folks, I'm not going to work too much. If we don't go ahead and get some cheap kitchen appliances or cheap memory stuff here, well, hey, screw it. I'm not going to worry about it too much. But where was I? Anyway, you have all these people pretending to be something that they're not in this wonderful bowel movement of ours. And, folks, isn't it a whole lot better to just know who you are? Know that you're white. Know that you're white. I'm looking at, you know, number 17. Essentially, there's nothing better to do than yap, you know, stupid horse shit. And unlike Finkelshimi, unlike Eli James, unlike all these retards, essentially, I let them say whatever the hell they want to say. I don't worry about what they're going to say. Why should I? What they say isn't true. Now, if what they say is true, and I have to go, you know, and I have to go ahead and address it, I will go ahead and address it here. Essentially, what Carolyn Yeager did is that Carolyn Yeager pretty well told anybody who wants to look is that she is not an honest historian. She's not an honest person. Because if she herself can't go ahead and, you know, go ahead and honestly say who the hell she's dealing with, a.k.a. Rabbi Finkelshimi on Voice of Retards, essentially, why in the world should you believe whatever horse shit that Finkelshimi or Carolyn Yeager have to come up with about, oh, what the Jews were up to? Folks, what the Jews have been up to is they're up to the same old shit here, is living off of white people. And yes, they've been banksters. They've been going ahead and doing all sorts of little scams here. Does that go ahead and negate the fact that they are within our wonderful bowel movement, trying to go ahead for whatever little reason is to go ahead and lead the whiggers, you know, like sort of mad whiggers, you know, with their little shit-encrusted tails in their teeth? And the answer is sure they are. But folks, if you end up going ahead and being a liar about one thing or another, or you end up being a censor, in short, someone who's trying to go ahead and change the record, well, how can you claim to be a real historian? How can you go ahead and claim to be a real scholar? You see, the scientific method involves that you will go ahead and look, and you will go ahead and be honest about what you're really up to. You won't go ahead and lie, you won't go ahead and cheat, you won't go ahead and steal, you won't go ahead and pull any of the crooked shit the wiggers like pulling. You will be honest. But folks, if you're not honest, then why are you even bothering? If you're too scared to go ahead and look at things honestly, why are you even bothering? Unless you're here to go ahead and be a liar, in which case you're here to be a crook here. In which case, if you go ahead and show that you're a liar, you're a hypocrite, you're a censor, and people know it, well, then I guess the only reason that they're going to be there is to be, say, something hostile against you. In which case, well, yeah, you're like William Fink. You don't have any choice but to go ahead and censor. You see, I used to wonder how much Carolyn Yeager knew about William Fink's past. And once I went in and called in Monday night, she knew about William Fink's past. But essentially, she wants to go ahead and hide and cover it. Eli James used to know about William Fink's past, and he was far more honorable than William Fink was about Eli James' past. Eli James knew, or Fink knew, that Eli James had changed his name, that he was a Jew, and now it comes out that he's a Jew now, according to Fink. Well, of course it comes out now that Eli James is a Jew. Because Fink is far more less honorable than Eli James, although Eli James is a lying Jew himself. No, folks, this wonderful bowel movement of ours is comprised of Zogfall fronts and everything else here. So what to do about that? And the answer of what to do about that is stop worrying about going ahead and saving Zog. Stop worrying about setting up a wonderful bowel movement. Stop worrying about going ahead and creating anything. The Christian identity way is to rely on the Great Tribulation to go ahead and do the work that formerly, under the first Zog Babylon, was done by simply Yahweh flooding out an area of about 600 by 300 miles in the Tarim Basin of going ahead and drowning the first Zog Babylon. And when it was handled to go ahead and postpone it under the second Zog Babylon under Nimrod by simply confounding the Uyghurs' tongues. So they couldn't breed with the Mamzers. So they couldn't go ahead and try to take Yahweh from his heavens. And although Yahweh was not worried about that, what Yahweh was worried about was essentially all the Uyghur Adamites, and Noahites and whoever was left of going ahead and miscegenating away. Of there being no longer any white people. You see, that's what all the Zog Babylons are. All the Zog Babylons have been not the Jews themselves, not the Gog or Magog, but essentially what it's been has been these sinning Israelites or Adamites or who have you, of white people, going ahead and forming a mighty evil empire, and like all empires, going ahead and destroying the founding stock through miscegenation. Essentially, Zog Babylon has been about an unholy combination of Jews and Uyghurs working together to go ahead and destroy the white race through miscegenation, through warfare, through economic and social collapse. And folks, that's what this Zog Babylon the Third and the Final is about. So what to do about it? And the answer is, there's nothing to do about it. In this movement, essentially there's nobody with the leadership ability, and essentially the ones who go ahead and form underneath them, they're not able to go ahead and do anything about it. Does anybody believe I'm looking at, what, about 15 people, and some of them are the last clowns, like number 17? Does anybody believe that this particular program is going to go ahead and the collapse of Zog Babylon simply by going ahead and what we're discussing here now? And the answer is, of course not. It's not going to happen. Now, that's why I don't have a problem with Harold Covington. He can go ahead and believe he's going to go ahead and form a great, you know, he's going to go ahead and form a great Northwest Republic with 1,000 alphas or something like that. Well, I don't see it happening because he's pretty well infiltrated by Jews like, you know, Command Dork McFag, Steve Schultz, whatever. He's already infiltrated by Jews who go ahead and want to censor people, actual white people. So, folks, since he's already got a bad case of Jews, how's he going to go ahead and rebel against the Jews? And the answer is he's not. Folks, this particular show is not about going ahead and building something in relationship to Zog. It's not about going ahead and saving Zog. Essentially, what this show is about is pretty well a gossip show. It's about making fun of these retards who are claiming that they're going to go ahead and save Zog from whatever if only we do something about the Jews. Well, let's just go ahead and hide from the Jews. Let's just go ahead and have a fake name here and say amen, 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 like over on Finkelschini or Eli James here. Well, I'll see how that's going to go ahead and solve anything, and the answer is it's not. Essentially, folks, what I go ahead and ask for you to do is just a three-part program. A three-part program is, number one, get in right with Yahweh. I was going ahead and looking at Finkelstein talking about how all Israel's going to be saved. I guess old Finkelstein believes he's part of Israel. I guess he's so far gone, he doesn't realize he's just a Jersey City murderous Jew boy. But, you know, the first thing to do, if you're Israelite, if you are a Christian Israelite, is to get in right with Yahweh. Second thing to do, just go ahead and take care of yourself and your family. Make sure as far as possible that you have discreetly enough beans, bullet, you know, bolts and bandages to go ahead and take care of yourself and your family and maybe a few people who are part of your extended family. Number three, when Zog Babylon tears itself apart here in your local community, you realize who the pigs are, you realize who the regime criminals are, and when the time is right, you go ahead and exterminate these regime criminals and their families. And then, when Jesus Christ returns, why, you're ready to take your place as a king and priest. But folks, there's no policy, there's nothing about going ahead and overthrowing the Jews, of going ahead and destroying the Jew Empire, Zog Babylon. There's none of this, none of that stupid shit that's going to be on this show. Essentially, this show is essentially someone who's been in the bowel movement for 18 some years, essentially talking about the regime, you know, about the tards and the idiots and the boobs and the fools that infest our bowel movement, be it Christian identity, be it white nationalism, be it whatever. And pretty well what I try to do is I try to go ahead and have a chat sometimes here, and I'm not going to have a chat tonight because, well, I'm going to go ahead and cut it short tonight. But, folks, we'll have a Sunday night show. We'll have a chat. We'll go ahead and discuss what little comes up here. Essentially, what ended up happening is I went ahead and made fun of that stupid skank, April Gady, since Sunday. And the second thing that ended up happening is essentially Carolyn Yeager revealed that she was just a stupid skank who essentially wanted to go ass to mouth with William Finkelschini. And that's about it. That is all about it. Nothing more. Nothing more at all. So, folks, it's 9:30. My time, and folks, wish me luck on getting a few small kitchen appliances and a few small other things here. Essentially, I don't think I'm, you know, unless I get a real good deal on Toshiba, I'm not going to buy me yet another computer, but I might. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn as long, let red blood flow. When Adam dealt and Eve defend, Kyrie, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gasso. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great, hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause's right, hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.